Okay, hi everybody, this is about the requirements. Next, please. So at the last IETF meeting in San Francisco, we decided to adopt the former draft Kiesel-Alto requirements 02 as a working group item. Since then, we have been publishing two new revisions, the draft IETF Alto Rec 00, was published shortly after the San Francisco meeting, basically to reflect this status change and also to include some editorial things, because the previous version was done rather in a hurry before the San Francisco meeting, so we fixed some typos and stuff. But then the, say, changes to the content appeared only in the next version, which is 01, and there are some actual changes which I will present now and which we probably should discuss. So next, please. So the first issue is once again terminology. There was a longer discussion on the mailing list on the issue of using autonomous system numbers in the Alto client protocol, and after discussing with some people both on the list and offline, I had the feeling that much of the confusion was because of unclear terminology, and especially the host location attribute we used to have in the older drafts confused some, caused some confusion, and that's why we decided to replace it by three new terms, which you can see in blue here on the slide. So the, there's now a clear distinction. We have the what we call now host group descriptor. This is what we want to have rated from the client perspective, or what the Alto server wants to publish information about. So this is basically an IP address of a candidate peer. We're interested, is this a good peer or is it not? The only reason we're not talking about addresses or identifiers is because there might be indirections, macros, anonymity groups, and so on. So that's why we're not calling it identifier, but anyway, basically it is one. And this is not to be confused with the rating criterion, which is gives us how we want to have the rating be done. So basically the condition or relation that says what does better mean in our goal, which is better than random peer selection. And of course this condition or sorting relation needs to work on some kind of data, and that's what the host characteristics attribute is. Next, please. So, but why do we make all this fuss? Why do we care about this distinction? So the problem is, if you look at these two blue sentences, this could be some kind of textual representation of an answer from an Alto server. And if you compare these two, you see both of them talk about something with distance in terms of AS hops. But the first one can be understood by a Alto client which has no real idea how IP addresses are related to AS numbers, whereas the second statement, if you want to evaluate this one, you would need a detailed mapping mechanism, how to map AS numbers to the IP addresses, because at the end of the day a peer will of course do a connect to an IP address. Please note, I'm always talking about AS numbers here, but there were other proposals of other identifiers. So the point is, should we allow that the Alto server gives some kind of guidance and uses an addressing scheme which is maybe not obvious to the clients? And here, the idea is now that we make requirements which say that the second type of statement should be avoided. So. Please next. So here you can see what this means in terms of requirements we are proposing. So we say, of course, we want to be flexible, so the client protocol must be extensible and it must support multiple types of host group descriptors. The protocol specification must define a basic set of these things, which at least include IPv4 and v6. There must be an extension procedure, and client and server must identify what kind of identifiers they're using, or descriptors. But now, in red, the important thing, if one of the parties involved in an Alto conversation is using a host group descriptor type which is not IPv4 or V6 prefix, it must clearly indicate it. It must also provide a reference to a mapping mechanism So it's not sufficient to say, well, everybody knows how to map AS numbers to IP addresses. There are the looking glasses. Just go there and have fun. And the number 12 is, preferably, this mapping mechanism should be also part of the Alto-Client protocol. So, which would mean that basically all these alternative addressing schemes are some kind of a macro mechanism, and the Alto-Client protocol is responsible for expanding of them. Please note that the last requirement is a should. And the last related requirement is that client and server must be able to tell that they cannot understand or use one of these addressing schemes. So basically, these two requirements in RAID were the motivation for this distinction between the host group descriptor and the rating criteria. And I would be interested if anyone here thinks that this is really a bad idea to be rather strict in terms of the host group descriptors. Any comment on that? Okay. As I said, basically, I was discussing this with some people offline and also on the list, so I think some people indicated that this is actually a good idea, but anyway, I would like to have any, or this is a good chance for you to give comments on that, but okay, let's continue. Yute. Regarding the rating criteria, so as I said, the stuff that tells you what actually better means, we are less strict. Again, we say it must be extensible, there must be a registry. There's also a default criterion, which is the operator preference. So this is where we all started with the info export proposal, where the goal was that the operator can say his preferences without telling in detail why he prefers some prefixes over others. And here, 1920, the client and the server should be able to express what they want to use. And also there must be a possibility to tell the other party that they're not able to understand one of the used rating criteria. So next, please. So the next big issue we were discussing also on the mailing list was the issue of Alto server discovery. There was some thread on the mailing list. There will be a separate presentation later. Anyway, we need to align this to the requirements, I think. So basically, we have, if we look at the discovery mechanism, we have two requirements. There might be an Alto client which is included in a resource consumer, so basically up here, which is distributed all over the internet, or the Alto client could be more in a centralized entity like a BitTorrent tracker or something. And in this centralized setting, this would mean that there must be third-party queries. So the Alto client in the tracker does do Alto queries on behalf of clients which are somewhere in the internet. Of course, both scenarios should be or must be supported. Now the big question is, assuming we have something like several Alto servers and the information about the network topology and the preferences is distributed amongst them. So for example, every network operator provides an Alto server which gives guidance to his own customers. So the question is now, if we have the Alto client in the tracker, how can he find the correct Alto server, so the one that can give the best guidance to the respective consumer? So and basically we have two options here. We can either say it's the responsibility of the discovery mechanism to find the right Alto server right from the beginning. So the discovery mechanism tells which is the right one, and then the Alto client protocol will directly access this server and do the query. This is one possibility. The other one would be, we can say that the Alto client and the tracker uses the discovery mechanism just for finding out any Alto server which is nearby. And then we need a redirection mechanism in the Alto client protocol which does the redirection to the server which has the actual information. So these are two architectural options, and these two options, they are somewhere at the boundary between the Aalto client protocol and the Aalto discovery mechanism. We have no explicit framework document, so the question is, do we need to document a preference for one of these two options, because we have now the developers of the client protocol and other people are working on the discovery mechanism, so is it a reasonable idea to document one of one preference in this document, or where should this be done? Anyone? Should we leave this issue just open, or? Some comment from Jess.
Do people understand this issue? Do people want to explore this a little further? And
hi, this is Rich Alimi from Yale. I'm wondering, in the second one, I guess I would like a little bit more of a clarification here. Does that imply that the Aalto servers will know about all other Aalto servers in the second option?
This would basically mean that this has to be done somewhere, that the Aalto servers need the other ones.
Okay, and so the other question I have for clarification is, in what sense is an Aalto server nearby a tracker who is not a resource consumer? Are you saying pretend that the tracker were a resource consumer?
So the setting could be like, say you have a client in the US which wants to access some content, and he asks the Pirate Bay server in Sweden. and then there's the Aalto client in this Pirate Bay tracker. And the second option would mean that the tracker asks the Aalto server, which is in the same network that provides the connectivity for the tracker. And this Aalto server would then say, well, I don't know about some peer in the US, so please go to another Aalto server which can give you guidance for this specific customer that wants to access the content.
Okay.
So this would mean that the Aalto servers would have to know each other's, whereas the first option would mean that there must be an external discovery mechanism which can tell you which Aalto server can give guidance for a specific peer. So this could be, for example, a DNS-based thing similar to Web22 or something.
Okay. So if I were to say a preference, it seems like the second option you might have some issues with making sure that all Aalto servers know other Aalto servers and making sure you get redirected to the right ones.
Well, I'm four people. It's Eric here at the mic, Eric Berger. I'm going to go backwards. Hannes points out that finding the access provider based on the IP address of the end host is complicated and error prone, as we've learned from emergency services and VoIP. I think everyone agrees discovery of Aalto servers and other networks is a difficult problem, but I would offer not unsolvable. Hannes is saying that if the end host learns, you know, the right server in the beginning, it makes things a lot more stable. Wolfgang is saying it being the which way to go would be where to go? I lost it. In the resource consumer. And last but not least, well, two things. One is Hannes is asking, and this is actually a good question because I've been channeling, but the real question here is, anyone ask operators what they want to do? I think that might be interesting stuff. And Martin is actually saying, yeah, he's awake, and yes, we should document something.
Because this is at the boundary between two groups of people now working here. So one do the client protocols and one the discovery mechanisms. So I'm happy to drop this whole stuff from the requirements document, but from discussions, I have the feeling that, well, we need to set something that both of these groups know what to do.
Bruce Lohkamp. So clarify these. In the second option, the Aalto server essentially takes care of identifying the right server to be used. And in the first one, it's the tracker is responsible for iteratively searching?
No, the first option would be something like a reverse DNS-based thing or something, so where you can go in with the IP address of the peer that will eventually do the download, and then you will be told which is the auto server that can give guidance to this peer who is a good other peer for him. So this is the first option. The second one is you can just ask any tracker, please give me guidance related to this peer. He wants to access something, so which other peers are good? And then the auto server would say, well, I don't know, but please ask the other server, he should know. So this means the redirection is done between the auto servers.
Okay, thank you. I would prefer the second option, just because I think it reduces the amount of magic in the system, and I think anticipating all the possible reasons you might prefer one over the other is hard at this point.
I'm so happy. For the second option, I don't think an auto server in one ISP can know the auto server information, I mean the address information in another ISP. So, but within one ISP, I think there could be such redirection for load balance or something like that. So I prefer the first option, and for the second one, I think we should give more consideration to that. That's my, thank you.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to do that. Rich Woody here. I don't know what the right one is. I kind of think that you'd want to have a combination. I mean, I can imagine that the second one, I was going to come up with a load balancing comment for a number that might be a good justification for number two, that the Alto server might have a much better notion of whether it's congested itself right now or not. And so, giving it the ability to say, gee, thanks for asking me that question. I would be the right one for you to talk to, but right now I'm kind of busy. Can you go talk to another one? Is might be useful, but quite frankly, you know, that's probably more useful early on. You can always stick a load balancer in front of these things and do that.
Well, we do have other requirements about load balancing and so telling I'm busy, yeah? I don't have them on the slides because we discussed them last time in San Francisco. So
I came in line thinking that I was going to recommend option two, and now I'm not sure again. So maybe take that as input.
Ronnie Evan, I'm not sure why do we need to document a preference for one, because as far as I understand, server discovery will look at possible way. We will not say this is the way to do that, because there's not just one way to do this discovery process.
So that is the question that's on the slide as well, right? Is should we document a preference either way? And so I guess what you're saying is no. Okay, that's a fair answer. So that is the question. So
right. Yeah, I agree. I think for the requirement, just to say that you need to find the right auto server, and then we open to all the different solutions. And then just by looking at the solutions, I actually think, given the real deployment environment, a particular end user is very likely to be able to discover the auto servers within that ISP, and therefore the second option is actually, I think, a very much doable one. Albert Tian.
Hi, Reynaldo Jennifer. In my opinion, what's a little bit confusing for me or contention is the word right, the right auto server, right? I mean, it seems to me you need a discovery mechanism, just like many other protocols, to find some server that's going to serve you. Maybe not the best one from an ISP perspective, and the ISP is going to take care of maybe redirecting you to another one, right? Now, right, we can be here discussing like 2 hours or more. What's the right auto server, right? And then there might be different, and then we go into
well,
the second.
Well, right, in the sense of the as written above, so the one which can give guidance to a specific resource consumer.
Okay, so that's a little bit different than load balancing and other things, right?
Right.
That's why I think we're blurring the lines here about the right, the least busy, and other things, right? That's just my.
Your name at the mic. They are having a hard time in the Java room.
Dave McDyson, Verizon. I'm a little. I guess I'm glad to hear that John said that this document's going to go on for a little while, and we have an opportunity to revise it because some parts of it are fairly confusing. This whole discussion is part of it because the document currently says, you know, PPP or DHCP should be supported, which kind of implies it's the access provider. It seems like, are you asking a question if those methods are not available? So I'm having difficulty understanding the context of your question. And other parts of the document, the access, IP access provider, and I'm not sure you use that term consistently throughout your document, is something that probably has more information than some other server would have. So you may want to include that as a preference. And if it's PPP or DHCP, I think you've got one method. I think you have a requirement you want to extend DHCP to identify multiple servers. Is that the context of the question? I'm really trying to clarify your question that you're trying to ask the group here, because reading the document and seeing this, I'm not sure how to answer it that I understand the question. Because it gets to this discussion of right, and maybe you can be more specific like the GRM document already is. You're proposing extensions to PPP or DHCP to be developed in those working groups and protocols, and maybe try and be more. Do you want to develop some other discovery mechanism or use some other discovery mechanism that might focus this discussion more precisely?
No, I think it's clear already from this discussion that this perhaps isn't an issue we understand we'll have to make a decision about today. But let's cut the mics here after Lars, if he's heading for a mic. And probably this will have to go back to the list. But I think we have some from the Jabber room.
Yes, we do. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, Jabber away.
All right. And it's Hannes, who has no editorial comment here, but a dose of reality, which is no one's going to read this document anyway after we're done with it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
No, but, yeah. That's certainly true, but I think it is an issue that has an impact on the protocol. And there are a couple of ways that it can, that this requirement can either way. And so I think we're in a process of trying to understand what the protocol's capabilities actually need to be, and the requirements is merely one way that we flesh that out.
Hi, this is Rich Alimi from Yale again. I just wanted to mention quickly the issue that, or expand a little bit on something I mentioned before. It's the trust issue in the second option that I'm more worried about, in that that Alto server who's doing the redirection has a lot of power. And it also may be a large bookkeeping concern knowing all the Alto servers. Within a domain, this is fine, but across domains, I do see an issue.
Lars Eggert, I want to sort of agree with Dave McDyson a little bit. I think, stating requirements is tricky business, right? So the requirement here would actually be, obviously you need a mechanism so that, an Alto client can find an Alto server that has the information that will help him. That's the requirement. There's many different ways how he designed this. What you're trying to do here is a slippery slope. You're actually making a comment that says, should the solution look this way, right? Gets us halfway down the design slope, and we have to be careful here because we don't quite know what we want yet, and I think that this discussion has sort of illustrated that pretty well.
Clearly.
So yes, we need this component. Do we know what it looks like? Probably not.
Well, I agree with this view, but the problem is now this is basically at the boundary between two teams that are designing things, so this is a question of the interface between them. So I'm happy to remove all that and say Alto Discovery must do its job, period. But the question is then the document still helpful? But I think we should take this to the list now. Go on. Two more things. It was added a requirement that this also must function if the client is behind a NAT. I think we don't have to discuss much about that. And then this thing about DNS, DHCP, and stuff, which was already mentioned. This is not a protocol or mechanism requirement, but more one relating to the process. So we can define lots of different mechanisms, like DHCP-based, PPPoE options, and so on. Or we can maybe try to come up with something more general, for example, with something which is based on top of DNS, which is probably a good idea anyway, because we can then do a third-party query in a multi-domain scenario. But I guess the question whether this kind of requirement is useful is already been answered or should be discussed together with the other one. So maybe we can go on. Last issue was security requirements. Not so much has changed there. The old wording was there must be a mechanism for mutual authentication of clients and servers. We have changed this due to some comments that there must be mechanisms for authentication of servers and there must be mechanisms for authentication of clients, but this might be different ones, so it doesn't necessarily have to be one single mechanism that allows this.
Last, I guess I have a comment here because I don't actually think having clients and servers authenticate each other really helps you a whole lot in this environment, you know, where privacy might matter, it's maybe problematic, but actually matters is that the client has some assurance that the information it gets is actually accurate. Right, so you could right. rephrase this to be in terms of the data rather than in terms of the communication channel between two nodes. And that takes the whole, you know, does the server even know who the client is or does the client even know where the information comes from out of the picture?
Okay, thank you.
Sorry for a little bit delayed question. For taking the must support net, I wonder whether well, okay, that means any kind of brain-damaged net? Is there a well-defined definition of what kind of net should be supported? Is that something where actually must should be replaced by should?
Okay, thank you.
Did anybody have a response to Lars?
So basically, if the NAT is so brain dead that you cannot do any peer-to-peer traffic over it, anyway, you probably don't need Alphabet. Well, one moment. Okay, so that was basically all the changes to the document. Last time in San Francisco, we decided to keep it open for a while, as the chairman already pointed out. Anyway, I would be glad to get another, maybe some reviews or more comments on this. So thank you for commenting everything.
Yeah, I guess maybe before, since you're proposing a terminology change from network location to splitting it into this three tuple, Dave McDyson, that is this tuple or this host group descriptor is both is the target of the query. That's another part of the document that is quite vague. That would seem to make sense, but you never state that in the requirements, and that's fairly. And kind of the other major issue that comes up in some of the more protocols that I would suggest that the group consider as a general requirement is, are you going to have communication between the servers in terms of your requirements, or this probably becomes a framework as well, is there an Alto server to Alto server protocol as well that this group would specify to exchange information, because there may be information that you know, the servers could get instead of just a local, just the locality information.
Jacob Palme, my question is, have you considered a case where the traffic from client server is using an anonymity server and optimizing in that special case?
I think there's no requirement which either says that we must support it, nor we say it should not be supported. So at this moment, I would say it's an implementation specific thing to enable it or not. The question is, should we add a requirement which says all the protocols we are going to design should support this or must support this? At the moment, it's just not specified whether we want to have this or not.
If a client is in one place and a service provider in the place, then optimal would be to have an anonymity services somewhere in between them.
Yeah, I get your point, but as I said, we are not saying you must do something which enables this. We are also not saying don't do this. It's just undefined, so you can build a protocol which is compliant to these requirements. But the question, of course, would be to the group, is this something we should mention in the document, that this is something useful, or?
And we do need to move along.
I'm sorry,
I said we do need to move along, I think. So I think we're going to have to take that to the list as well. Rinaldi.